Freedom of the Press Under Attack, an Oscar win, and a high-profile trial are just some of the stories making news in Africa this week. For more on these stories and other news, NPR Special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt spoke with NPR correspondent Farai Chidea.
So let's start in Kenya. It seems to be on a downward spiral with demonstrations in the street and police raids on the media. Give us more about what's going on.
Well, it's actually a very complicated story, but let's start with just this week when thousands of people turned out into the streets protesting the raid on two media institutions, the Standard newspaper and Kenya television network KTN. They were targeted by a group of security police, and they raided the television station, closing it down, and burned copies, bundles of the Standard newspaper as it was coming off of the press. Now, I've talked to a variety of journalists there in Kenya who say that this was prompted by reports that the newspaper was about to run an article pointing to members of the president's family engaged in corruption. And this was a way of moving in to see what they had. But what's interesting here, among other things, is thousands of ordinary Kenyans turned out to say that we support press freedom in Kenya.
Now, from Kenya, Charlene, let's move to South Africa. There's a lot going on there. Give us an update on the former deputy president that's on trial for rape.
This case, you know, you and I have talked about it. We talked about it as the deputy president was being charged, but it has brought out many of the cultural problems associated with women and rape. Now, he's been accused of raping a young woman who basically grew up in his family. Her father was in exile for the African National Congress before the end of apartheid. And Jacob Zuma was, as has been described, like a father to her. She called him uncle. And so now she is saying that he, when she stayed over at his house, as she has done on many occasions, he came into the room and made sexual advances that she at first misunderstood, at least this is her part of the story. And when she didn't realize that he was actually moving in to have sexual intercourse with her, she was stunned to turn over in bed and find him climbing on top of her. Now, he's still denying the rape allegation, although he is saying that they did have sex. And in South Africa, as is in other places, I suppose, in Africa, where women have known the perpetrator or the person who has sex with them against their will, it's often dismissed as a private matter. But this woman, who is HIV positive and an AIDS activist, decided to speak out. And now the Zuma defense lawyers are bringing into the trial her past sexual history, that she had been raped once before. Now, I don't know how, you know, none of us, of course, knows where this is all going to turn out, but it has certainly galvanized women in a country where 1 in 9 women is raped. And so this trial not only is exposing a deep scar in the country, but it is also putting one of its most visible politicians in a light that even if he ends up in some way being exonerated, it's still been a very ugly and divisive case.
South African President Thabo Mbeki was criticized by some and lauded by others for letting Zuma go as his deputy president. Now, his party, the ruling African National Congress, has consolidated its hold on some local elections, but I understand that in Cape Town, the ANC didn't fare so well. Tell us more about what's going on with that party.
What I think has largely happened is that the country is gradually consolidating democracy. I mean, the people, the black people who are the majority in the country, are showing remarkable patience, with this government. Over the past year, there have been protests over continuing lack of basic services, running water, electricity, and toilets. But even unhappy voters are still giving the ANC the benefit of the doubt, based partly on the fact that the ANC has built over 1.5 million homes. It's delivered clean water to 9 million people. But the other thing that you have to understand is this legacy of apartheid and the damage it did by not doing these kinds of things all along. And what this election said, the ANC is still in charge in a huge way, and the people have spoken, at least some 40-some percent of them, saying that we're going to give them more time. There's reason to hope.
There's happy news in South Africa that comes from the United States. We, of course, had our big glitzy ball in Los Angeles called the Oscars, and South Africa's film won the foreign film category. How have people reacted in South Africa?
They're over the moon. You know, when we talked once, when Fatih was nominated, I had not seen the film. I have subsequently seen it, and I was just as proud as everyone else in South Africa that it won, because it is a powerful film. And South Africans are so excited. You know, the country has 11 official languages. It's still got the black-white divide and the rich and poor divide, and there aren't a lot of things that bring this country together, but this is one of them. I mean, everybody in the country was elevated and uplifted by this win, and African filmmakers from Addis Ababa all the way to Nigeria and down to South Africa are saying that they want to tell their own stories, that they don't want to see themselves interpreted through the prism of Western eyes. And so I think that now with this Tutsi film out there, a lot of people will now go and see it and will see the potential of the human story being successful not only in Africa but around the world.
NPR's special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt is traveling on the continent. Charlene, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you, Farai.
Again, that was NPR's Charlene Hunter-Galt and Farai Chidea.